This is No Need for Mistletoe, written by Perpetual Motion and read by Tipsy Kitty. The party lasts long into the night. The snow keeps falling, and the men decide a snowball fight is the best way to celebrate the stroke of midnight and Christmas Day.
"Oh, I couldn't possibly,"
Phil says, patting his old injury as the men try to cajole him into joining the battle.
"This old war wound, it doesn't do well in this cold weather."
"Looked fine when you were dancing,"
one of the men says. He's red-cheeked from champagne and laughs at his own joke. Phil laughs with him. It's honest, open merriment, just right for a Christmas day that's going to turn everything around for the general.
"Well, you see, that's a different sort of movement,"
Phil says, putting on his best mock-serious face. The man he's talking to, and a few listening in, all snicker at the way he lowers his eyebrows.
"Now, dancing with this old injury, that's just fine. But throwing anything..."
"Gentlemen," Judy says as she walks up to the group. The men all go silent. Two of them are moving their hats even though they're outside. Judy's wearing a deep blue coat with a gold belt and gold jeweled earmuffs and gloves to match. She looks like she stepped out of a painting, the pink on her cheeks flattering her in the low, warm light coming from the inn.
"I know you'd love to see Phil join in your games, but a gentleman does not leave his fiancée to walk to her door alone. Not even when surrounded by so many honorable men."
Phil nods seriously, feeling the small squeeze she gives his arm as she slips her hand into the crook of his elbow.
"What she said, boys. It's dangerous out here for a lady. There's...
Well, the ice," Judy says.
"The ice, yes.
And the walkways may be slick."
"Slick walkways, uh-huh.
And of course there's always a chance some big animal could come out of the trees. Why, we've seen deer and elk and moose, haven't we, Phil?"
"Oh, we have. Big moose, big."
Phil holds a hand up to his shoulder. Not really sure how big a moose is, but figuring he's tall enough that shoulder high will seem tall enough.
"Big moose."
"Well, we wouldn't want you to get hurt,"
one of the men says, and he looks at Judy with the shy sort of awe that Phil feels to his bones.
"Come along, dear,"
Phil says, clapping his hand over Judy's at his elbow.
"Remember, if the moose charges, ask it for cash."
"That is a terrible joke," Judy says as she allows Phil to lead her away towards her cottage.
"You know moose never carry cash. They've no place to put it."
Phil laughs quietly as they step away from the noise and lights of the main inn.
"You know, you stick with keeping up with my jokes, and I might propose for real this time."
Judy presses against his arm, chin tipped up so her face is reflected in the moonlight.
"I think you'll propose for real anyway, if I give you enough time."
"Oh?"
"Well, I've had a few kisses behind the Christmas tree, and I have to say, yours was certainly the most... festive."
Phil cuts her a look, watching the way her mouth curves wickedly at her own statement.
"Festive? That's quite a word to describe a kiss."
"Is it? I feel like it fits. It was warm and cozy and soft, like curling up on a plush rug in front of the fire."
The curve of her mouth gets a bit more wicked. "Though, of course, it's rare that I have someone to do that with."
"Curl in front of a fire? I'll start one right now. Pick a tree, any tree you see. I'll chop it down and split the wood and build you a fire in 2 shakes. Faster than you can say Merry Christmas."
Judy laughs and steps in the shadows between the two cottages. She pulls Phil after her, sliding her hand up his bicep and over his shoulder.
"Maybe I don't want to say Merry Christmas. Maybe I just want to feel a little cheer instead."
Phil blinks, then grins.
"Oh, well, I mean, I suppose we may get engaged someday, so it wouldn't be improper."
"It's a tryout," Judy replies, sliding her other hand up Phil's chest so she can join her hands behind his neck. "Or maybe a rehearsal." Phil folds his hands around Judy's waist and leans down.
"Oh, if I was rehearsing with you, I'd never miss a call time."
"The flattery," Judy says. Phil tastes her laugh as he kisses her. She tastes like hot chocolate and peppermint, and her hands curl around the back of his neck as he pulls her closer for a second kiss. He adds a bit more pressure, and chances teasing her bottom lip with his tongue. "Oh," Judy breathes, and tips her head to switch the angle. Her tongue darts out and meets Phil's, then she pulls away,
laughing slightly and pressing her lips together.
I'm sorry, Phil says. I didn't...
He gets cut off when Judy grasps the lapels of his jacket and yanks him in hard, pressing their mouths together again, and slipping her tongue alongside his as she takes a step back and presses against the wall of the cottage. Phil relies on instinct, kissing back with matching intensity and movement. He squeezes at Judy's waist and shivers when she pulls off one glove and slides her hand into his hair. He sighs when she pulls away, licking his lips to chase the taste of her mouth.
Don't move, she says, pointing at him. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am, I wouldn't dare.
He watches with wide eyes as she takes off her other glove, then opens her coat.
Judy?
We're going to be engaged someday, she says, and that wicked angle is taking over her mouth again. I think that means I can get you to hold me a little closer.
You draw a line in the snow and I'll hit my mark, Phil says.
Judy gives him a considering look, then points her foot, drawing a line in the snow just in front of her other foot. Phil steps to the line and hurriedly removes his mittens, not caring that one falls in the snow at his feet. He slides his hand under her coat and feels the soft fabric of her dress, and through it, the heat of her body.
Oh, this is much better,
Judy says, and pulls him in for another kiss. The end.